It's certainly good to see all of you this morning. I'm sure you were not expecting to see me. Shane is out of town. I was not expecting for you to see me. Little Thomas Albert Gass, children interrupt the service. They're disruptive. I feel for moms and all that they go through and taking care of them and grandmothers and everyone. Little Thomas is going to have the legacy of having interrupted service before he even got to church. We're happy that all of that has gone well. In May of last year, Shane asked me to preach for him then in his absence, and so I had a heart attack to avoid it. Later, we talked about my heart attack, and sometime before that, we had talked about my cancer. Well, last October, I turned 50, and my doctor started telling me that there was a particular procedure that I needed, that's all we're going to call it, that I needed to have. Now, if you're 50-ish, or older, you know what I'm talking about. If you're not, never mind. Don't worry about it. Well, we're not going to talk about that anymore this morning. I promise. The results were okay. No, we're done. No more. That's it. No more discussion about this particular procedure. If you're visiting with us, we are so happy for your presence. We have many that also attend our services through our live stream. We welcome them, anyone that is able to do that. That's a blessing for us, and we're happy that you are here. Shane is in the Chicago area holding a meeting, and so we want to pray good blessings upon that. So I thought we would talk about something more pleasant than that particular procedure. So I thought we'd talk about cruising. Many of you know that I was a travel agent for a while, and I've been on several cruises. I enjoy cruises. When you go on a cruise, you check in once, you don't have to worry about anything else until you're ready to get off the ship. Your food is included, all you can eat, 24/7. All the restaurants, the buffets, the snack ice cream machines. Cruising is great that way. The restaurants, I'm not talking about Applebee's. It's white towel service. They come and they clean off you at 5-course. You can have 2 entrees. You can have 2 desserts. Cruising is great. They take care of your room. Everything is cleaned up for you. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to make your bed. You have candy on your bed. Sometimes they come and make a little duck out of towels, and they leave it in your room. You don't have to do anything. Everything's taken care of for you. You're waited on hand and foot. You see several ports. You don't have to drive. You just wake up the next morning, you're somewhere else. The entertainment on board's included. You can sit on deck and just lounge the day away. Watch the world go by. You don't have to do anything. Cruising, it's a great vacation. It's a great vacation. there is a different kind of ship on the sea as well. I never spent any time in the military, and I know that some of you have. My dad was in the Air Force. Some of you were possibly Navy. I know that Brad Heaton, I've talked with him about it. And when you see this picture, it brings to mind something completely different than cruising. They have food on this ship. You're responsible for your own bunk. You wear a uniform. There's no candy on your pillow. You will see other ports. It's not so much sightseeing. You're not a lot of lounging on the deck. This picture represents a job. There's work to be done. Everybody on board this ship is assigned a task and an expectation to accomplish that task. You're not waited on hand and foot. Everyone has a job. There's work to do. This is a battleship. In Mark chapter 13, Peter, Andrew, James, and John came to Jesus and asked him about the signs of the end that would be. And for the next several verses, the account gives several things that Jesus tells them to be aware of. But then he said in verse 32 of Mark 13, "But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, only the Father." And then in verse 34, he says this: "It's like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and he puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake." Jesus went on a long journey, went back to heaven. He left us here. He left the church. And he left each of us with work to do. There is work to be done. Everyone has a task. No one is exempt. No one can do it for us. No one's going to wait on us hand and foot. Jesus left us with tasks, and he left us with work to do. There is work to be done. So what is the church? Who has this responsibility? Every member, everyone who has heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, who has obeyed the word of the Lord, who has repented and changed their heart, been baptized into the body of Christ, has been given this task, has been given the responsibility and a job to fulfill. Maybe you're an elder. Not everybody can be an elder. Not everybody qualifies to be an elder with a scriptural description of who an elder is. Maybe you're a deacon, or a Bible class teacher, or a song leader, or a preacher, or a traveling evangelist. There's a number of things, and lots of things, that we can all be busy doing and working. God has lots of things for the local church to accomplish in its services. We've had a wonderful service this morning. We're so blessed to have so many people that can step up. I appreciate so much the things that Dean said in his class. I didn't hear all of it because I had gone somewhere else and was preparing this. We have men that lead singing. We're going to have a song service tonight. And it's wonderful how many are able to do that. I appreciate very much the prayer that Brother Carl led for us this morning. We have people in this congregation who step up and who work. But I want to talk about some other aspects of the work today. I'm going to put this picture back on the screen. And I want you to consider some things. I hope that what we have to say this morning will be encouraging to all of us to work. So, what's my position in a congregation? Do I treat it like I am on a cruise ship where I come and I sit and I lounge and I watch and I let someone else do all the work? Or do I recognize it as a battleship that I have a job and a task and a responsibility and an expectation to accomplish it? I've heard Nick Chapman up here talk about the 80-20 rule, where generally in any large organization, you have 20% of the people doing 80% of the work. Or in most cases, quite honestly, 10% doing 90% of the work. That's not the case here. I am so happy to say that we are blessed with people working. So the intent of this lesson this morning is to encourage us to find even more, as Paul encouraged the Thessalonians to excel even more. We're blessed here with so many that are able to and are desiring to take part. But unless we become complacent, so that, you know, as we grow, this is really a danger I've watched in myself. As we grow and we get larger and there's more people available to do these things, it's easy to kind of sit back and say, well, that's getting done. Someone else is doing it, and become complacent that way. So I want to talk about some of the work of the church. As we mentioned, there's lots of things to be done, but I want us to look at this idea of edification for a moment. And I may not spend as much time on it. This was something I was preparing for tonight when we normally spend a little bit more time, but there's some specific things that I want us to look at. This passage, Matthew chapter 28, that Brother Eric read for us this morning. I want you to look at it again. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all of the things that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. I want you to focus on these words. Teaching them. Here's the question. Who is Jesus talking about? Who are the ones that he says teach? Look at the passage again. He says, go therefore and make disciples and then teach them. So this instruction is more about edification. This word edification really could be defined in a single word, guidance, or maybe another single word, teaching. This is the responsibility that the church has as a whole to teach and to mature our Christians so that they are more prepared to do some of the other things that we're going to talk about in a moment. Edification is the process of learning things. It is a process of studying together. And God, in his wisdom, has given us the congregation so that we can have the ideas together. We're certainly responsible for studying on our own. And I hope that all of us are daily Bible readers. We count that in our Bible lab. We encourage the students to be daily Bible readers. We give them a guide that says if you could read these passages each day during the week, then you'll be prepared for the discussion. I trust that we are all participating in that. That's a responsibility that we have as an individual, to be studying our Bibles, learning it, and be prepared to talk about it with each other when we come together in the congregation to edify one another. There's lots of ways to edify one another. You don't have to be the Bible class teacher. You don't have to be the preacher. You don't have to be the one doing the teaching. You can be the one participating in class. We have, it's such a pleasure, and I appreciate what Dean had to say this morning when he began class. It's such a pleasure to teach here because you can be guaranteed there is wisdom that is going to comment and give more value to the class. That's a wonderful thing. We should all be prepared to take part in that. Edifying is a responsibility of bringing up the brand new Christians. Jesus says, go teach them, go baptize them, go baptize all nations, teaching them to be disciples. Teach them then all of the things that I commanded you, all of the things that now that they are Christians, now that they are they understand who I am, the Lord says, now that they understand their position, that they're sinful, and they've come to a realization of repentance, and they've been baptized, now they need to learn. Jesus says, teach them all the things that I've commanded you. This is not only a responsibility in the church. This is a responsibility of us as Christians. We do it at home. We teach our children. We give them guidance at home. But we're examples to those that we come in contact with so that we can teach them about the gospel. Edification is a primary focus of the church. There's lots of things that could distract us from that. There's lots of things that are not part of the church. We could talk about all of the things that we see in the world around us that churches are involved in that are not focused on teaching the word. Let us be focused on teaching the word. We teach and we preach. We have Bible classes here at services. We have Bible studies at home. Moses instructed the Israelites in Deuteronomy to write it on their doorposts. We're studying Deuteronomy now in our adult class. And the book of Deuteronomy is all about the law. And Moses encourages them, write these things so that you know them, so that you see them all of the time. I don't know that we write on our doorposts, but the implication is, be prepared to have it in front of you all of the time. Carry a Bible with you. We give our time and our effort and our knowledge to grow Christians from needing the milk of the word to being mature Christians ready to teach someone else. That's one of the primary works of the church. We do that well here. We're looking at building a building. Because we do that well here and we've filled this one up, let's continue to grow even in that. We can all be Bible teachers without standing in front of a class. Another work of the church. Benevolence. Galatians chapter 6 verse 10 says, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." One of the responsibilities that we have as Christians and as a congregation is to do good for those who need it. We have elders in this congregation. I don't know that we all understand the blessing that we enjoy having the men who are serving as elders here. I don't know how many of you have been in congregations where that's not the case. I have. I've been places that didn't have elders at all, or I've been in places that the elders were not as involved or as diligent. We are blessed here. And I know firsthand how often they look at the things that they can do to help the congregation here and to help those also who need it. We support many preachers. Last couple of weeks ago, our congregational meeting, Ken went over a whole list of the ones that we help. I hope that they are all on our prayer list as well, that we pray earnestly for those that we support so that their work is profitable. Our elders do an amazing amount of prayer and contemplation on how they spend the money of this congregation. And a good portion of it is spent on benevolence. But it's also a primary goal of each of us as Christians. Churches seem to get involved in all sorts of things, running orphanages and homeless centers and schools and social clubs and all sorts of things that the Bible does not authorize for the church. And there's certainly things that as individuals we can do and should do. But the primary work of the church is for the saints. There was a collection taken up throughout Europe that Paul brought back to the needy saints of Judea. That's the focus. Paul says in Ephesians, talking to the Ephesian brethren there, these were brand new Christians. This was a congregation that had been there a while, but he's talking to them and growing them, edifying them. He says to them, let him who stole steal no more. But look at the instruction. Let him labor, working with his hands the things that are good. Why? That he may give to those who are in need. One of the things that I fail at is seeing someone else's needs and providing for it. And I pray that I get better at that. But there's opportunity there that is certainly given to us as a responsibility of the church to be benevolent, to talk or to give to those that need. James says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. We have opportunity all around us to set such an example of Christian love by helping those who are in need, that if we are ignoring that, then we miss an opportunity to teach them the truth. Evangelism, and this is really the focus, I think the main focal point that all of us are responsible for. Certainly the church is responsible for teaching and preaching. We are blessed to have someone like Shane, who is an excellent student, a good communicator, someone who is willing and able to share and to teach and to uplift us and to bring us the Word of God and to help us understand it in such a way that we can apply it. That is evangelism, but preaching is a very small part of evangelism. Evangelism really has to do with spreading the good news, and that comes to all of us, the passage that we were talking about earlier, and this one where Jesus in the book of Mark is telling his disciples at the same time, the same kind of thing, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe will be condemned. It's our duty, it's our responsibility, it's our calling. When we were baptized, when we put on the name of Christ, when we repented of our sins and said, I am dedicating my life to the Lord, we said, when we did that, I will spread the gospel. That was what we were called to do. That was the commission that we had. Those are our marching orders. Those are our battle orders. That's the responsibility that we have, the job that we have. The need is out there. Jesus says the fields are white to harvest. What our job is to take them the gospel, not to be accountable for the increase. That is up to God. But to take it and to spread the seed. We sing a song sometimes and it, sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother. And it's an old time song and it certainly has that meaning. You know, there's the child that goes home afterwards and asks dad and says, why do we sing that song, dad? What song? The song about sowing the seed of the king, dumb brother. And dad's like, no, son, it's the kingdom, brother, not the dumb brother. But that is our responsibility. We sing songs like that we're going to go and to do that, send the light, sowing the seed. So how do we do that? What does that entail? Remember John chapter 1, we've studied John a couple of times. In the beginning there, Jesus is calling his disciples. He talks to Philip, and Philip goes and talks to his brother Nathanael. You remember what he says? Nathanael questions him about, are you sure you're... And Philip's answer is, in verse 46, come and see. That's evangelism. That's taking the gospel to someone and says, I've found Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, the one who's promised. Really? Come and see. We have services here on a regular basis so that we can bring visitors to it so that they can hear the gospel. If we're not comfortable giving them all of the information that they need, bring them to someone who can. That's evangelism. That is talking. Look at this study. This was a study done by the Institute for American Church Growth. Now, they weren't measuring growth for the Church of Christ. This was just a general survey, and it's got some interesting results. Look what he says. The question that was asked is, what was responsible for you coming to Christ and this church? So, 10,000 people were surveyed across all sorts of denominations that hold to Christ. Not that they're right, but that was the question. And these are the results. I had a special need. 3% of the people went to a church because they had a need and they felt that was the place that they needed to be. 3% said, I just walked in, it was Sunday morning, and it was close, and I just walked in. 6% said, I liked the minister. 1% said, I started going there because I had visited there, and so I went back. I liked the Bible classes, 5%. I attended a gospel meeting, less than 1%. I liked the programs that they had there, 3%. Well, what does this kind of study tell us? Certainly, the biggest number on the screen right now is I liked the minister. So there's certainly a responsibility that the preacher has a need to be able to deliver in such a way to attract people to listen. But these numbers, anybody here who can do math recognizes that doesn't add up to 100. You know what the number one reason, overwhelming reason, for people to begin to come to church or begin to give their life to Christ, the number one reason was that a friend or a relative invited me. They were simply invited, and so they started coming, and they learned about Christ. Come and see. We have an opportunity coming up. We've got a meeting a couple of weeks from now. November the 6th, Gary Sandusky speaking on the fundamentals of faith. Right here. Last year, our meeting attendance, it wasn't that great. It wasn't that great among us. Let's make an effort to fill the building so people can hear the gospel of Christ. Let's just see if those evenings we can fill up the building so that people can hear the word of Christ. Souls are not being brought to the Lord if we don't talk about it. It's our job. It's our responsibility. It's our need. All of these things that we can do here as a congregation, edifying one another, teaching each other to be built up, to be better, to be more mature, to be Christians that are ready to go out and talk about it. Being benevolent to fellow mankind, but certainly to the household of faith. And evangelizing, going out and teaching, going out we've got Bible studies here, but we've got Bible studies in homes. We've got people that are willing to go and teach. All you have to do is invite someone to hear the gospel of Christ. It's not as easy as it sounds. I understand that. And that's not what this lesson's about. This lesson is to encourage us to learn how to be more evangelistic. Or we can sit on the deck and watch the world go by and expect that someone else will do it. How do you see the church? Is it a cruise ship, or did you sign up for a battleship? Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We need to be bold. It's what we were commissioned to do. They are our marching orders. Go and teach all of the world. I appreciate you listening to me this morning. It might be this morning that someone has been studying, who has learned that Jesus Christ is the only answer, that his death, burial, and resurrection is the only way to be pleasing to God. Someone who has learned that their own life is not good enough on its own, that repenting of those things is necessary. Someone who is ready to be baptized into the Lord. And if that's the case, then today is the day to begin and to learn even more and to become an evangelist yourself in teaching others the good news that you've heard. Or it might be that someone needs the prayers of the congregation here. Whatever that need is, come walk together, we stand and sing.